The sermon you are about to listen to is a Stream Globe Word Encounter sermon by Pastor Abraham Damilola Arigi. Be blessed as you listen and kindly share with a friend. You can contact us by visiting our website www.streamglobe.org.
The need for people to understand what the Spirit of God is saying to the church is important. You see, there are two pillars of spiritual growth. When I mean there are two pillars of spiritual growth, I do not mean the foundation of spiritual growth. I mean pillars. You know, every serious structure has foundation and pillars. Amen? So the foundation of your walk with God is your faith in Christ Jesus. Jesus is your foundation. If you do not believe in Jesus, you don't even have a spiritual foundation to start with. We are all built on that foundation. But in order for you to grow spiritually, there are some things that must happen to you deliberately and intentionally. You see, it's possible, just like physically speaking, it happens that you can plant something, maybe a tree, a mango tree or something, and that tree will just be stunted and it won't grow. And then they say it's disease. I still remember when I was much younger, growing up, we had different trees in our compound. There was, and many of them did very well. But for some reason, the orange tree did not do well. It was stunted. We did all kinds. At the end of the day, we had to remove that tree. The last time I went home, I was drinking orange from another tree they planted in another part of the compound that had grown. And this tree didn't, this one that had brought orange, that was drinking the orange, very nice oranges. That tree hadn't been there for more than 4 years before it started bringing real fruits. This one I'm talking about, I think they planted it before I entered university. By the time I graduated, I did a 5-year course. When you add ASU strike, it's more than 5 years. By the time I graduated, that tree had not brought any fruit. It was still here. They put fertilizer. I don't even know why they were wasting so much time on it. At the end of the day, they removed it. You see, child of God, there are some Christians that are like that tree. They are not growing. They are not fruitful. They are not fruitful. And looking at it now in retrospect, I realized that with that tree, the problem was that it had a disease. It was diseased. That was why it didn't grow. Some believers, the reason why they are not growing is not because they are not receiving sound doctrine. The general reason why believers don't grow is because of lack of sound doctrine. That's the general. If you see, if you go to when I came back to Otta, it hadn't rained for like 2 months after I went for our conference. The month before I go and throw out, I was gone. It didn't rain. I still remember I went to the office, and you know that there are some farms inside that compound. And I told them, my brother Emma, because he has a farm there. I remember when he had a farm, and we're like, okay, you know, this idea that, okay, so harvest, cultivate very well. When it is harvest time, you will see me. Some people do that a lot. When it's harvest time, you will see me. So, because when you plant like that in such an official office farm, the harvest is usually more than what you can consume. So I had put I, because it's my brother, we pray together in the office and all of that. He's supposed to be, if I didn't invite him, he probably would have been here. And he told me, he said, his things are dying. He planted ugu, he planted some other things. He said, they are dying. I said, ah, why? He said that it had not rained for about 2 months. And you can interpret this story any way you like, but I'll tell you my own interpretation of the story. He said it had not rained for like 2 months. And I said, don't worry, it will rain. I've come. It will rain. You see, why I had the courage to talk like that was because I knew that God sent me to this land. You see, people may not know me, but the principalities know me. And I'm not just talking about myself so that we won't start feeling special. Everyone that God sent, because there are some people that God sent to this land for a season. And if God sent you to a land, you must be very careful to take possession of your spiritual throne and your authority. Praise the Lord. There are some things that are not permitted to happen. Do you know why Sodom and Gomorrah would have been spared if there were 10 righteous people in that land. Because those 10 righteous people would have been sent people. You may have been born in a land and not sent. And you may have been born in a land, and even though you were born in the land, the time will come you start having a walk with God and you realize that your being born in that land was not a coincidence. Your being born again in that land, God sent you to that land as a gatekeeper in the spirit, as a priest. The Bible says that ours is a kingdom of kings and priests. Praise the Lord. So I told him, I said, don't worry, it will rain. Now, I didn't just tell him, I went to pray. Because I knew when I was coming, it rained on the way. And incidentally, when I was coming, I came by road from Benue. You know, I traveled from Lokoja to Makurdi. There was an air-conditioned bus. I said, this one, I spent all my money on conference, paying for hotel. Let me enter free bus instead of paying how many thousands to fly. So I came by road and it rained. It was even raining in Lagos. And I know that thing they say used to happen in Ota, where some people will hold the rain. Like it's currently happening right now and it will soon stop. So when I told him that, I went back and I went to pray. I said, Lord, it rained. The long and short was that it rained the next day. It rained the next day. And that is how the rain started falling. But meanwhile, when I went to the market to go and buy vegetable, if you see how the stunted ugu that they brought, and they say it was 100 naira, like half of what I normally say, because there was no rain. Now, when you see plants not growing, generally speaking, it is because they don't have rain, or they don't have nutrient, they don't have water, or they don't have nutrient. What is the water? If you read Ephesians chapter 5, it says that, okay, let's read Ephesians chapter 5. 5, we'll start from verse 1. If you are there, read that.
Therefore,
yes,
be imitator of God as their children.
Go on.
And walk in love as Christ also has loved us.
Now he's giving them instructions concerning conduct. Go ahead, sir.
And giving himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling aroma.
Go ahead.
But the fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be named among you as is fitting for sin.
Okay, pause. Now, Apostle Paul is giving them a guideline for conduct. He's giving them a guideline for conduct. Now, if you read on, you talk about being filled with the Spirit, because you cannot live your life cannot produce the fruit of the Spirit if you are not filled with the Spirit. And being filled with the Spirit is not just what happened that day you were speaking in tongues. You understand? It's not what happened when they lay hands on you and baptized in the Holy Ghost. No. That is the day you received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. But being filled with the Spirit is a state of being. But that's not where I'm going to read them, verse 22. Sorry, read verse 25. Let's just jump to. Yes.
Love your wife.
Yes.
Just as Christ also loved the church.
Yes.
And gave himself for her.
Yes, go ahead. Sir.
That he might sanctify and cleanse her.
Yes.
With the washing of water.
Yes. And the word. Wow. If you read this down, I was reading this, I think was it yesterday or the first day? And I didn't plan to talk about this I didn't plan to preach about this when I was reading it. Do you realize that? He says, husband, love your wife as Christ loved the church. In fact, Paul went ahead to talk about marriage. At the end of this thing, he said, actually, he's talking about Christ and the church. He's not talking about, what he was really talking about was Christ and the church. You know, Paul wasn't married by the time he was writing this. And yet, he could write so accurately about marriage because his own strategy was using the pattern. He had so much revelation that he could see the original pattern of marriage. It's just like if you're an architect and you see the original plan, you'll be able to describe it better than somebody who is just seeing the product of bad workmanship. Praise the Lord. Now, he said that as Christ loved, so the real pattern, the model of marriage is the relationship of Christ with the church. But this is where I'm going to. He says that he may sanctify her with the cleansing and the washing of water by the word. I can show you other scriptures that talk about how that the word of God is the water of the spirit. Praise the Lord. So when you see a plant that is not growing, there are a number of reasons. One of the reasons is because there is no water. Just like if rain just stops falling now, plants will stop growing. Any plant that you see that is still growing is because its root has gone deep enough to touch water. If you want to grow spiritually, you cannot separate yourself. You cannot divorce yourself from the ministry of the word. That is why meetings like this are very, very important. Because you come to a place like this and the word of God is being shared. Don't ever neglect such gatherings. I notice that people are more interested in prayer meetings because they want to solve their problems. And that's okay. But when you are interested in prayer meetings, also be interested in where you come to hear the word of God and understand what the word of God. So the Bible refers to the word of God as water. That water does not just wash us, it nourishes us. You know what the things that water do to us? Now, there's another reason why believers don't grow. Just like that tree. That tree's problem was not water. That tree's problem was disease. What causes spiritual disease? Most of the, because you are born again, just like a newborn baby that is born of an, but you see the difference between when you were born again, the Bible says that you were born with an incorruptible seed by the word of God. You were born of an incorruptible seed. So what it means is that, spiritually speaking, you were not born with any spiritual disease. You know, there are some children that are born, and even from when they were in the womb, they already had certain issues, health issues. They have a deformed heart. There are some children that are born and they have jaundice even from when they are babies. You see, nobody who is born again is born with a spiritual disease. But spiritual diseases abound among people who are spiritually alive. So where do they now get spiritual diseases from? People get spiritual disease from communication. What is communication? Your company. The Bible talks about how evil communication corrupts. That's why the Bible says, do not be unequally yoked together with an unbeliever. And I didn't just talk about communication with people, because that's one of the most potent ways, because human to human transmission of a disease is more potent than animal to human transmission. Praise the Lord. Human to human transmission of disease is more potent than human to object transmission in most cases. So what I'm saying is that this is a bottle of water. If I drink this bottle of water and I have a communicable disease, and then somebody else takes this bottle of water and drinks it, you understand what I'm saying? He can catch the disease. See, that's what happens when you watch a movie that is a corrupt movie. The person who produced the movie, he has a spiritual disease. And then you took the movie and watched it. The way you know somebody has this, when you see a person, a movie in which immorality is a living theme inside the movie. You know, there are some movies when they show things, they show fornication in those movies. It doesn't add to the substance of the story. That is, the fornication is not part of the narrative. It's just that they must show it. And then they show somebody that is naked. Do you know that Game of Thrones would have been as good as it was if they didn't show naked? For those of you who watched it, I only attempted to watch one season. I bought three DVDs. By the time I started watching that one season, I removed the remaining DVDs. I had already even downloaded them into my system. I removed the DVDs, threw them away, and deleted all the files. Now, there are many people that watch Game of Thrones, and I'm not judging anybody, but what I'm saying is that there are many movies that when you watch, they are good stories, but they also carry viruses, spiritual viruses. And when you watch those movies, they sow seeds of immorality or seeds of all kinds of things. Some people commit suicide because of the movies that they watch. Praise the Lord. I'm trying to explain to you how people come in contact with disease. But the most potent way is human to human. Human to human. Everybody, there's been so much talk about the pandemic. And then, they have been limiting all kinds of large gatherings, you know, because of human to human transmission. What is human to human transmission? The Bible says, blessed is the man that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. If your best friend is a fornicator, you will soon be a fornicator. I don't care how much you feel that you are strong spiritually. You spend, whenever you have time to spend, you are spending it with a fornicator. People are sitting down and discussing nonsense. I'm talking to you. You. That word is for you from the Lord. And I'm not trying to embarrass you. Praise the Lord. It is your, that is where you are born again. You were born with an incorruptible seed. You were not born with any spiritual disease. But you want to contract different kinds of spiritual diseases. You will contract it from people, from unbelievers who have corruption in their soul. So the Bible says evil communication corrupts. Praise the Lord. You see, if you don't know these things, you wonder why you are struggling spiritually. Praise the Lord. Have we not seen some plants that they are looking, they are looking, they are sleeping. As soon as rain falls, they wake up. They are looking one kind. As soon as rain falls, they will wake up. Let me tell you something. There are some times in my life where I feel spiritually dry. So dry. Prayer is a struggle. Studying the word of God is just because of strict discipline. And then I go to a gathering of God's people. And then the water of the word is released. And then I find that I come back alive again. Do you understand what I'm saying? That's why you come to such a place. If it is true that we're dealing with the word of God, you discover that after you leave this gathering, you are spiritually rejuvenated. Because that is what, it is not about who is teaching, it's about what is being taught. Who is teaching is also important. You understand? Because clean water can't come out of a dirty faucet. Praise the Lord. At least generally speaking. So, you must be careful to give yourself, why do you think I keep giving you messages to listen to? Because for me, many times, one of the ways I get rejuvenated in the spirit, because sometimes, you've seen plants now, now that it has not rained for some time, go and study plants. You see where they are, even though they are alive, but they are one kind, they are weak. But let rain fall today, and go and look at them tomorrow, you see that they are rejuvenated. They are shining again. That's what happens when you come in contact with the word of God. The Bible says that he may present her spotless. And it talks about the washing of water by the word. Praise the Lord. Are we together? Now, remember we are talking about the water of the word, disciplines that will ensure that you grow. So there are some of you here, you have smartphones. Like you have a smartphone. Remember I was interrogating you this morning. And you don't have messages in your smartphones. What is the use of smartphone if there are no messages? What is the use of smartphone? You don't know that one reason why God, now, it may look as if I'm joking, but I'm very serious. One reason why God allowed there to be smartphones all over the place is so that the word of God can spread. These messages that you have now, just conquer. You own your Zender, and I send 100 sermons to you. 20 years ago, you know what used to happen? Those were 100 CDs that you would buy with your money. 25 years ago, there were 100 cassette tapes. At some point, they would say, kindly turn over to the next. There was no way you would carry 100 cassette tapes all around. The way you carry them in your phone. Because the Bible says in the last days, the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of God as the waters cover the sea. Guy, the glory of God increases the more you know, just like the glory of a plant increases the more there is water. He says, it shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. The dimension of the glory of God that is supposed to be manifested in my life and your life should be better than those things we read in God's generals. Do you know why? Because we have more exposure to the word of God. Are you getting my point? But do you notice that with the smartphone has also come some kinds of distraction? Eh? You know now, pornography is a click away. Those days, you have to go and buy Tell magazine. And it was still not as active as a click away. Do you remember? I remember when I was secondary school, I just saw, you see students gathered around, it's one Tell. Is it Tell? No, it's not Hint. Okay, Tell is also there. All those rotten, and those things, they were not as bad as it, one click away. So, as this thing can stream volumes of life to you, it can also stream volumes of darkness to you. Praise the Lord. That's why you must be wise. You must be wise. May the Lord help us in Jesus' name. The easiest way you expose yourself to real demons, is by watching pornography. You give them license to enter your life. How do you deal with demons? You cast them out. And you see, that's the reason why you find that people are addicted to watching pornography, is because demons are involved. Most of the time, if you are a Christian and you love God and there is something that you are doing and you don't like it but you can't stop, it's because demons are involved. And how do you handle that? It is by casting those demons out. If you discover that you don't have authority to cast out the demons, reach out to somebody who has authority and say, I have this problem and I want this demon to be cast out of my life. Praise the Lord. The first deliverance I ever did online was to get somebody delivered from demons. He got those demons through pornography. He called me. I've never met him before. He's in another country. And I prayed with him over the phone and the Lord delivered him. That was about 4 years ago. Till today, he's doing wonderfully spiritually. He's a servant of God now. So you reach out and get yourself free. You don't use the formula for the flesh to handle demons. You see how you handle the flesh, because there are works of the flesh. Then there are activities of demons. And you can love God sincerely, but there's an opening that has given demons a certain kind of power in your life. And how you handle that is by casting those demons out. How do you handle the works of the flesh? It's by the cross. What is the cross? How is the cross administered? It's by the teaching of the word. Praise the Lord. Now, remember I talked about that there are two pillars. I talked about the foundation. What's the first pillar I can identify now? It is preaching. Preaching. There are some things that are preached to you. And when preaching is actually an instrument for impartation, it's one of the most potent ways people receive impartation. I'm telling you now that preaching is okay. Let's read Luke chapter 18. No. Yeah, Luke chapter 4, verse 18. It says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel. Do you notice that the gospel is preached? He has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, and he has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. Now look at the next part. To preach deliverance to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind. So he's preaching deliverance to the captive and he's preaching recovering of sight to the blind. To set at liberty them that are bruised. If somebody is spiritually blind, they need preaching, not teaching. Praise the Lord. If somebody is bound, they need preaching. Many times if you bring people who are spiritually bound and you are teaching them, you will teach them, they are bonded, you know. Because there are dynamics of preaching and there are dynamics of teaching. For example, a lot of what I've been doing since is I've been doing some teaching, but I've also been doing a lot of preaching. Because when you are preaching, you are proclaiming. I was explaining that in the last word encounter, when you are preaching, you are proclaiming. When you are teaching, you are explaining. When you are preaching, you are proclaiming. You are saying, this is what God's word says concerning you. That if you believe in the Lord Jesus, if you are advertising something. Do you understand? If you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, you will be saved. So all you need to do in order for you to receive the benefits of a preaching is to believe what is being said. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So for example, somebody comes and says that the Bible says that in Christ you are free. You are free indeed. Who the Son sets free is free indeed. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Are you in Christ? You say yes. That means you are not supposed to be under bondage. That's preaching. Praise the Lord. He's not explaining to you the dynamic. He's just telling you what's obtainable. And by faith, when you begin to believe, because you receive salvation by faith. And real deliverance, you also receive it by faith. Recovering of sight. In fact, general recovery. Do you know there are some people, they are 35 years old. For example, there's a 25-year-old boy, and according to God's plan, that guy should have graduated and finished 7. But he's still in 200 level. He's supposed to have been sending money to his parents, but he's still in 200 level, calling his uncles and saying, send me money for a recharge card. That's not the will of God. How you bring such a guy out of that cycle is by the preaching of the word of God and telling him that, see, when you believe in Jesus Christ, you are set free. And if he believes that by faith in Christ Jesus, he will be free. And then he believes in Christ Jesus, he will begin to see the manifestation of the freedom. Are we getting? Now, what I'm saying is that you preach recovery. There are many people that need recovery that are hearing me today, and by the word of God that is coming today, you will receive recovery in Jesus' name. You see, the Bible says that God has the ability to restore years. He said, I will restore the years that the cankerworm, the locust, the palmer worm, the caterpillar has stolen from you. He said, I will restore. Normally, what encounter is not a preaching, but you notice that I switched into the preaching gear recently. You see, it's not a preaching meeting, it's a teaching meeting. Because preaching does not make anybody become anything. It only helps people to receive things. But when you want to make somebody into something, you want them to become. For example, you want to make someone to become an engineer. It happens through a teaching process, a teaching curriculum. So, if you want to grow spiritually, because this life is very spiritual. In fact, we understand by faith that the things that we see were created from the things that are not seen. We understand that the spiritual realm or the spiritual controls the physical. That the unseen controls the seen. Amen. Now, what I'm trying to say is that the unseen realm controls the physical. Even physically, we know that the bacteria that kill people, they are not seen. But there are things, there are spirits, there are spiritual realities that control this physical realm. Thank you, Holy Spirit. You see, as we are speaking now, the Spirit of God is here. But you see, if you don't know how to deal with the Holy Spirit, you will miss him. If you don't know how to interface with the Holy Spirit, you will miss him. Praise the Lord. Mm-hmm. Father, we take authority over this environment and we ask that the presence of the Holy Spirit will fill this place in the name of Jesus Christ. All right, let's open to 1 John chapter 5. I told Bro Yemi before you came that we're going to do exegesis today. Mm-hmm. Exegesis, Bible exegesis. 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5. So, we will start from verse 1. And then we would jump to verse 7 and verse 8. Okay, by the time we read verse 1, we'll read verse 1. Bro, let me read from that translation. I'll echo you. Okay, wait. What makes you a child of God? That you believe that Jesus is the Christ? Nathaniel, What made you a child of God is not that you say, Father, Father, today, today. Mm-mm. What makes you a child of God is that you believe. Do you understand? Because you can go to church and you pray. You can go to NIBG and you will pray. And you are not a child of God. Because you don't believe that Jesus is the Christ. Now, what does it mean? What does that phrase mean? What does that mean that Jesus is the Christ? Because what is the meaning of that word Christ? That word Christ is the same word Messiah. It's the Greek word for Messiah, yes. Messiah means the anointed of God. The chosen of God. You see, in every human philosophy of those days, they had an understanding. Even till today, if you study every religion, especially those that predate Christianity, I think the only major religion that is younger than Christianity is Islam today. You will discover that they were expecting somebody to come. And this somebody that they were expecting to come, for the Jews, he was the Messiah. For the Buddhists, they had a name they were calling a perfect man who was a God man. Even for the Grail Message, as a recent religion, they have, I've forgotten the name, I don't remember, there's a name, is it Mahanta or something? They had this understanding that there needed to be a person in order to, because the fall of man, anybody that understands spiritual things, I don't even mean that you are born again, anybody that has journeyed into the spirit realm small, has an understanding that human beings, the way we are, is not, we are, something happened along the way. We are not accord, what's going on in the human experience today is a product of something that went wrong at some point. Even the Muslims maintain that narrative that there was a time that man fell. Are we together? You know, if you are driving a car and the leg and the wheel of the leg, you are driving a car and you know the car is supposed to be moving. But you're hearing in one of the wheels. And it is doing, it's slowing down the movement of the car. You don't need to be too intelligent to know that there is something wrong with that car. People that have spiritual intelligence know that this is, the way humankind is not the design. Something went wrong along the way. So in every culture, like the Jews understood that there was a man that was going to come. Even though he was a man, he was going to be a link between man and God. You'll find that there is this understanding that in order for there to be peace between the spirit realm and the physical realm, there has to be a man or a woman that is half from us and half from them. And that one person will be the mediator between us and them. Are we together? So there was an understanding that the Messiah was going to come. Now the Jews don't doubt that the Messiah will come. The issue was that they said Jesus is not the Messiah. Because the way they expected the Messiah to come, and it wasn't even, he actually came the way the prophet said he would come. But their hearts were darkened by the devil. The Pharisees, because what happened was that there's a story behind how the Phariseeism and Sadduceeism started. It was an intentional corruption of the Jewish religion by darkness. So these were the people that resisted Jesus when Jesus came. If you go and study about how the Phariseeism and Sadduceeism came, started. That is after the book of Malachi. It was an intentional effort to corrupt that religion. And by the time Jesus Christ came, they were the ones that were leading in the church. Today we have a Jesuit Pope. That's the first Jesuit Pope that we've had in the history of the Catholic Church. And notice that recently he said there's nothing wrong with homosexuality. Because that society of Jesus Christ, that society they call Jesuits, anybody that knows about Catholicism knows that they are the most dangerous sect in the Catholicism. They can infiltrate any part of government. they can be sleeper, they can have sleeper cells for 50 years. What I mean sleeper cells? They will be in the government. The purpose they are there, they won't do anything. And they will continue from generation to generation. But when they say it is time to operate, everybody will be set loose. Before Jesuit, let me tell you, explain what happened, how Jesuit, that society started. When Martin Luther, the reformer in Germany, started teaching, you know, allowing Christians to have exposure to the Bible, and the Protestant movement started. Because of the truth, you know, truth is powerful. Because of the truth of God's word, the Protestant movement was growing like wildfire. So many people. And what was happening was that it was Catholics, Roman Catholics, that were converting from. Now, Catholicism today is very different from Catholicism then. Even Catholicism has experienced a lot of reformation, positive reformation. Because those days, if you committed a sin, you would pay money for God to forgive your sins. I'm not kidding. You would pay money. To this day, yes, it was business. And they were the ones controlling the world. Because what happened was that before the church was corrupted, by the time the third generation church, by the time of the third generation church, you know, before Apostle Paul died, he had an agenda to preach the gospel in everywhere that there are human beings, and he succeeded. But they didn't know that there were people in Africa, in sub-Saharan Africa. They only knew to the Ethiopians. It was people like David Livingstone that discovered some parts of Africa. And the rest of the civilized world knew that there were other people living who were cut off from civilization, and they wanted to go into all of that. So, by the third generation church, the third century church, sorry, they had already taken over the known world, literally. There were a number of things that happened. Constantine became saved. They had already taken over the known world. There were no more idols in Rome. The only God they were serving in Rome. And Rome was the empire, was the power of the world. By the time, so the church was that powerful. And then governments were being administered by the power of the church. But this is the point I'm making. By the time Martin Luther preached, there were a number of people that preached before Martin Luther, but they were not as famous. Well, Martin Luther was one of the major reformers. Protestant movement, they called them Protestant because they protested against the church. You and I are Protestant today. If you are not a Roman Catholic, you are a Protestant. You understand? If you've ever grown up in a barrack before, you will understand that very well. You understand? Because you see Catholic church and you see Protestant church. And then it's standard barrack. I don't know how that barrack here is, but any real barrack, you see Catholic church, you see Protestant church. Yes. Yes. Now, the rate at which the Protestants were taking over was becoming scary. Then they now created the order of Jesus Christ. That's what they call the Deus Jesuits. When you say this off record, they are the ones that understand how to infuse. And as soon as this Jesuit order started, the growth of Protestant was limited, and Catholics stopped converting to Protestant to become Protestants. It took a number of. Now, here's my opinion. Something similar also happened with the Jewish religion. And the agenda of the devil was to ensure that when Jesus Christ, the Messiah, came, the Jews would reject him. So these people worked themselves up to become the most influential group in the Jewish religion. The Pharisees, they had their ways. Praise the Lord. And so that's why when the people who were supposed to be the ones that were embraced Jesus came, they were the ones that crucified him. Who were the people that cheered the crucifixion of Jesus? Was it not the priests? The Pharisees? They were the ones. So they didn't believe that Jesus is the Christ. In different cultures, they have an idea. That's not today, because if today, anybody that is still seeking God, has heard Jesus Christ, is not seeking God, he's just looking for power. But before Jesus came, all groups of people were seeking for God. Do you remember when Paul went to preach in Athens? And then, because Paul used to be a Pharisee. Those guys were some of the most educated Jews. They were very cerebral people. Paul studied the culture of the Athenians. And then, he noticed that there was this particular altar that was made, raised to an unknown God. Now, you can look at the sermon that Paul preached on Mars Hill. You see, Paul understood, he found their search for reality. Because all of those religions, all other gods, they are the works of men. You are the only God. There is no one like you. If you go to any group of people that have never had the gospel, and they are sincere in their search of spiritual reality, and you can show them Jesus, if they believe that Jesus is the Christ, they will be children of God. I know I've gone a little bit academic, so let's come back. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Nathaniel, are you still here? All right. So, where did you read last? Yes. That whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is what? Has become a child of God. So every religion then, every sincere religion, because there were all kinds of, the Jews were not the only people that were seeking God. Every sincere religion then was looking for a Christ. The Jews called him the Messiah. But we can see that the Greeks, there was a Christ. Do you understand what I'm saying? They were looking for that Savior. And anyone that believes that Jesus is that Savior has become the Son of God. You people know the story? No, I'm sure you don't. Should I tell us that story of those people in Egba? Was it Egba land? Somewhere, current Ogun State now. Thank God we are in Ogun State. Who were, before the missionaries came, they were practicing their religion and they were praying. And then an angel or somebody appeared to some of those Ifa priests and told them that there are some people that are coming. They will show you the way, what you are looking for. When they come, receive them. Not long later, missionaries, white missionaries came to their land with the gospel. While other Africans were killing them, other people in what is now Nigeria were persecuting the missionaries, these people, they adopted the missionaries. They welcomed them. That is why till today, spiritually speaking, the most advanced place in Nigeria is in Ogun State. Spiritually speaking. And the most prominent Nigerians that we know are from Ogun State. I hope you know that. The Wole Soyinkas, the Fed, even, they are from Ogun State. Because they were, you see, the Bible says that if you receive a prophet in the name of a prophet, you receive a prophet's word. He said, when you come, because those missionaries were actually apostles. It's the same word, missionary apostle. Go and check it out. Jesus Christ said that when you go and preach and they receive you, he said, your peace can rest upon them. So these were the first group of people that received, they opened their arms. But here was the, because anything that is good that God is doing, the devil will also try to corrupt it. Now, here is my own idea, because of spiritual understanding that God has given me. It's not that I've done extensive research into this. Because of that, they didn't see Christianity as a new way, even though it was a new way. And the person that appeared to those Ifa priests told them that these people that will come, they will come not long from now. When they come, accept them. They accepted those white people. They came and brought the Christian faith, and the major entrance of Christianity into this part of the world, this part of Africa, was through that them. Praise the Lord. Now, probably because of the way Christianity came, so you can imagine that the Ifa priests became the first converts. There was probably some issue with properly divorcing Christianity from that, their traditional religion, which was just a corruption of darkness. And that's why today you see that there are many people today in Ogun State. They go to church and shout hallelujah, but they have charms in their house. Am I saying the truth? It is because that was... Now, you know what happened with those people? Those fathers, those forefathers in Ogun State, they received Christ as. I don't know what they were calling him then, but there was somebody that they were expecting because they had never heard the gospel. So they received Christ as their Messiah. And they were saved. Later down along the way, just like even with the real church, the first generation church, corruption came in. I hope you know that full-blown Catholicism, you know, not what they are doing now, because what they are doing now has been really reformed. It was pure idolatry. Pure. Pure. I don't want to go into it. Serious idolatry. If I tell you the history of some of those practices that they say is Meridian, they are honoring, you will cry. Mother of God. Pure idolatry. But thank God for what the Lord has been doing in the Catholic Church. Because there are many believers in the Catholic Church today. So now we have a Jesuit priest. Remember the history of those Jesuits? And we have a Jesuit priest that has become the first pope, Jesuit pope. And remember how we got there? A sitting pope that did not die resigned because they put pressure on him. And then he became the pope. And now we are seeing that he's already trying to legalize homosexuality in the Roman Catholic Church. That's unheard of. The next time you are praying for the body of Christ, remember to pray for our brethren in the Roman Catholic Church. That the corruption of the physical head, the figurehead, will not affect the rest of the body. In Jesus' name. Now, continue.
We know.
We know we love God's children if we what? Love God and obey His commandment. Now, you need to realize that thing was not written in English. It was written in Greek. You can also put that statement this way. We know that if you love God and obey His commandment, you will love God's children. Let me explain something to you. The first time I saw Bro Yemi, I was stepping out of the compound and I was wearing, I think it was a striped shirt. I don't remember what he was wearing, but the first time I saw him, as soon as I saw him, I knew that he was born again. It was a kindred spirit. The first time I saw this guy, Nathaniel, even though Nathaniel is a spiritual baby, the first time I saw him, even though he's a spiritual baby, the first time I saw him, I knew that he was born again. How did I know? I can't explain it. How does a dog know how to bark? Can it explain it? But you see, what happens is that, and that thing there is a spirit of love. What I mean is that when you see a believer, you give preference to a believer. Because of that kindred spirit. There are many people that say that. Now, it's possible for a person to have been born of God and not grow spiritually, but it doesn't mean that his seed is not there. I didn't want to be distracted. I would sleep. That was why I told you to stand up. You are blessed. Sit down. How do you know? Like this young man, I still remember the first time I saw him. I knew he was not born again at all. In fact, I didn't believe that he could be born again. I'm telling you the truth. The person I believed that could be born again was the other Samuel. But when he became born again, without him telling me, I knew. Well, maybe it's so for me because the Lord has given me the ability, the real ability of discerning of spirit. So it's maybe stronger. But every believer has a measure of discernment. Because discernment is a measure of spiritual life. You don't have to be a prophet, for example, to hear from God. Because every believer, by virtue of your spiritual life, if you are spiritually alive, you have a measure of hearing. Amen. You don't have to be a prophet to see visions. Because by virtue of your spiritual life, you have spiritual sight. And you have spiritual sensitivity. Because the spiritual sensitivity that makes you see visions. Praise the Lord. You don't have to be a prophet for you to know some things, for you to walk in some measure of knowledge, spiritual knowledge. Because, do you understand? You don't have to have that spiritual gift necessarily. You just need to be alive. A spiritual gift is an enhancement of a spiritual sense. If you were writing down to that would have been a good thing to write. A spiritual gift is an enhanced spiritual sense. You know, physically, you have how many senses? 5. The sense that allows you to smell. It can be likened to the sense that allows you in the spirit to discern. The sense that allows you to hear. In the spirit, it can be likened to the sense that allows you to hear. The sense that allows you to see in the spirit is the sense that allows you to know. Amen. In the spirit is the sense that the Bible says that the eyes of your understanding may enlighten that you may know the exceeding greatness. The Christians in the church in Laodicea, they had physical wealth, but Jesus Christ said they were blind. And what was the function? They didn't know. He said they didn't know spiritual value. And so he said they should buy of him gold. Praise the Lord. Now, he says, how you will know? See, let me tell you, do you want to know if you love God? Because, you know, the proof that you're a child of God is a native love for God. I'm not even talking about the one you learn, because there is love whereby you discipline yourself to love. I'm talking about native love. What do I mean by native love? There are some things that you, it's just like, I want to give you a simple example. How do the babies know that they are supposed to suck? You know, if you bring a new baby, put your hand on their mouth, they will start sucking it. How do they know? Which school did they teach them that? It's a native knowledge. Intuitive knowledge. There are many things that you know. There are many things that being a human being is native. Do you understand what I'm saying? Now, love for God is native to a believer. One of the ways that you will know that you have truly been born of God, because it's possible for you to think you are born of God and you are not born of God. One of the ways you will know that you are truly a child of God is that you have love for God. Can I get a small phone or something? One of the ways you know that you are truly a child of God is that you love God. And one of the ways that you love God is that you will discover that you have that love for God's people. How do you know? You know, he talks about that. What makes you a child of God is that you believe that Jesus is the Christ. And that Christ means that he's the anointed one of God. Even though he's, because you know, Jesus Christ being the Christ means that he's man and he's God. God-man. But what that also means is that because of that, he becomes your leader. He becomes your master. Because he's the one that is linking you and saving you from the fall and the consequence of the fall. Amen. Do you understand what I'm saying? Now let me try. Amen. Remember I said that if you drive a car that has bad wheels, you will just know that this is not the way the car was designed. Anybody that has any level of spiritual intelligence, anybody in the past, whether before Jesus came, among all different, because every group of human beings under the face of the earth must worship something. And the reason why we worship something is because we know that there is something broken and we are looking for a savior. When you find anybody that does not believe that there is God, it's a product of foolishness. You know what foolishness is? So David will say the fool is the one that says in his heart that there is no God. Everybody knew that there was a higher realm that we were disconnected from, and everybody was looking for a way to connect. And for people that had sufficient spiritual intelligence, they got to the point of realizing that there was somebody that was to come who was going to be the ultimate bridge. Because even though he would be one of us, he won't come from here. He will come from that realm, heaven. If you believe that Jesus is that Messiah. Now, what it means to believe that Jesus is that Messiah is that, of course, and all of those societies understood that whoever that Messiah was going to become their king. So, for example, the Jews were a good example. They were called him the Messiah. The Greeks, well, Christ is the same. I don't know what they called him in Yoruba, but I assure you, if you studied pre-Christian Yoruba culture, there was somebody that they were expecting. Even till today, Even till today, the Muslims are expecting a Mahdi or something. No. Praise the Lord. Mahdi. Praise the Lord. Please, let's try not to be distracted. So, if the Jews truly believe that Jesus was, the Jews that believe, if to say the whole nation of Israel, which was the original plan, if they truly believe, if they believe that Jesus was the Messiah, they were supposed to instead of crucifying him, because the reason why they crucified him was because he said he was the Messiah. You know, that's why they wrote King of the Jews, because they said he was blaspheming, that he was claiming to be what he is not. So when they crucified him and killed him, and he died, God raised him from the dead after the third day to prove that he wasn't lying. That's why after Jesus Christ died and resurrected, one of the signs, the proofs, you know, Paul will say that if you believe that Jesus is Lord and that God raised him up from the dead after the third day, because that resurrection was God's final proof that Jesus Christ was not lying when he said he was the Messiah. You know, they killed him because he said he was the Messiah. Are we getting the point? Because you need to understand the gospel that you believe. Believing that Jesus is Christ or the Messiah will make you to become automatically subject to him. When you confess Jesus as your Lord and personal Savior, it means that you have been confessed. For those of you who don't understand the sense of that, the person is confessed. If you are confessed, anything the person that confessed, that you confessed to, say you should do, is what you will do. If you are married with 5 children, I say, leave your family. How many of you have watched Legend of the Seeker? You've watched it. Have you watched it? There was one. You know what happens when the confessor touches a person's neck? What happens to that person? Anything that you become the slave of the confessor. You see, when you say you confess Jesus the Lord and personal Savior, what it means is that you become a slave. Jesus becomes your master. But because Jesus Christ is good, you say, I've not just called you servants, I call you my friends. That is why when you believe in Jesus, you repent. But it is only those that have confessed the Lord Jesus Christ that can be saved. Now, it says that they are the ones that are children of God. Abi? They now went ahead and said that, how will you know? This is how we know. So this is a proof, because you may think that you believe in Jesus and you don't know. How do we know? You see, the proof is that you love God. And the proof that you love God is that you will love God's children, fellow children. Do you understand that? Read on. Come and hold.
He said, for every child of God defeats this evil world, and we achieve this victory through our faith.
You say every child of God. My question is, are you a child of God? Are you a child of God? No, it's not a trick question. Are you a child of God? Yes. What is the proof that you're a child of God? The love of God is in your heart. If the love of God is not in your heart, you may not be sure. Because he's going into warfare here. It's just like saying, everybody, we are going to go and do something in the town. We're going to be dealing with people that have corona. But you must make sure that you are vaccinated first. And everybody, so they say, okay, in order for you to be sure that the vaccine really, really is working in you, this is how you will know. Because if the vaccine is not in you, if you go, it will catch you. Do you understand? So what is the proof? How do you know that you're a child of God? It is that the love of God you shed abroad in your heart, and then it will manifest in that you will love the saints. Do you get it to that point? Now it says, this is the people that will overcome the world. Can you read that in King James? That's verse 3, right? Verse 4. Read it again in that your translation. Let Bro Rotimi help us read in King James. For every child of God defeats this evil world. And we achieve this victory by our faith. He says, for whatsoever is born, for whoever is born of God overcomes the world. What is the world, dear? I've explained the world to you before. Anyone who is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that overcomes. Read it, sir. Verse 4.
For whatever is born of God overcomes the world.
Mm-hmm. Are you sure that's King James? New King James, okay. Praise the Lord. That's old King James, even our faith. Amen. Yes, that's King James. Alright, I need your attention now. What does it mean to overcome the world? Because the only people that have the ability, because let me tell you something, there is a saying in the world that if you can't beat them, you join them.
For whatsoever is born of God overcoming the world, and this is the victory that overcoming the world, even our faith.
For whatsoever is born of God, whoever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that overcomes. Now, you've heard that saying that if you can't beat them, you join them. Everybody sitting down inside this room has a destiny. God has a plan for your life. And the Bible says that those plans are plans of good and not of evil to give you an expected end. If it so happens that God has made you a star, somebody who is a light in your generation, which everybody here has been made a star and a light, there will be forces. They are called the world, the forces of this world, the dark forces of this world, that will try to hinder you. And for most people, especially those who are exceptionally remarkable and those who are unfortunate to have, okay. So there is this young man, he's trying to become a medical doctor, he's in his fourth year, but he's from a polygamous family. And his stepmother realizes that he's becoming the star in that family. And then, she takes his name somewhere to ensure that he never becomes that star. I hope you know that these are real things that happen every day in this part of the world. The biggest enemy you have, apart from the flesh, is the devil. Now, why I said apart from the flesh is because the flesh is also an enemy. There is something the Bible calls the last enemy that will be defeated is death. The Bible says death walks in your flesh, but life is in your born-again spirit. You see, if you sit down and you are just happy, if you can see demons, they are looking at you, they will say, why is he happy? The devil does not just like that you just sit down and things are going well with you. You are happy, you are joyful. The reason why the devil hates you so much is not because of you. It's because you are an image of God. And the devil has issues with God. He hates God. So, what people now try to do in order for them to get ahead in life is to surrender to the devil. So that the devil will allow them be. That's why you see people will go and do charms, you know, and then the devil will let them be. But if you don't surrender to the devil, and you don't have any superior power to overcome the devil, the devil will not let you be. Except your life does not want to start making sense in a real way. Do you understand what I'm saying? This thing I'm saying is not a joke. That because you say you were born intelligent, you will become a star. You will soon run mad. I am not kidding you. You know how easy it is for demons to make a person run mad? Now, it's really not so easy. Because I need to understand, explain spiritual things for you. What happens is that before the devil can afflict anybody with any kind of wickedness, any kind of affliction, the devil must first of all succeed in accusing that person before God. What does it mean? If you are living in a way, have you noticed that there are some things that some people do those things and they are always sinful things before they begin to understand the reality of darkness. So you find a girl that was very brilliant. SS3, she had straight A's in her work. Straight A's. Sharp. As soon as she got to 100 level, she had her first girl boyfriend. She started community fornication and then she became very tall. What happened was that they have been eyeing her since, but they didn't know how to access her. But as soon as she entered that level of iniquity. Are you getting my point? Yes. I've counseled many people that will tell me that their problem started when they started committing masturbation. Pornography. You know that pornography? That is when These people that their minds were very sharp. Their minds became blurred. They couldn't focus. You know what? There's nobody that is actually dull. Let me just explain something to you. Are you with me? This is what happens. When you find a person that is really brilliant, maybe academically or in anything, it's just the ability to focus. Do you understand? It's focus. Some people can focus. They can put their, if you focus on anything, you will achieve something there. But you just go out there, their minds are now blurred. They can't focus. And they will tell you, people who are a little bit spiritually, they will tell you that this problem started since they started committing this kind of sin. Because what happens is that in order for you, the devil, to unleash some levels of darkness and captivity in people's life, there must be some kind of legal ground. And we give the devil those legal grounds through iniquity. That is the reason why even in darkness, there are some sacrifices that if they want to use human beings for, because there are people that do human beings, human sacrifices everywhere in the world, they need a virgin. Praise the Lord. So sad that there are people who still do human sacrifices when Jesus Christ, the perfect Lamb of God, has already offered himself as a sacrifice for us. A man that knew no sin. Because if you understand spiritual things, you will know that the more pure a person is, the more potent he sacrifices. Praise the Lord. So, in case you have lived a rough life, things have happened in the past, the devil has had a license into all kinds of aspects of your life. And then, just for your information, anybody who is born into this world, was born into sin, everybody, the Bible says all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. You know that Pearl is not innocent when it comes to sin. His list of sin is already getting full. But thank God that at this age he can know Jesus. Because you know that he has lied before. Has he not lied before? If you tell me that at his age he has not lied, I would say we should pray for him. A child of that age has not lied. I would say, you say, my child, he has never lied. Even if he has never fought, I say, something is wrong. Do you understand? Because the sinful nature invokes that as you become mature, you begin to explore sin. Praise the Lord. I said I wasn't going to face that place because of the massive distraction that is coming from there. We'll soon close. It's already one. Where did I stop? It says, whatsoever is born of God overcomes the world. And how does this happen? This is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. How does faith come? Faith comes by hearing. You want your faith to grow because there are levels of world that you will face. For those of us who don't understand Yoruba, who are listening by streaming, pardon me, I want to use this Yoruba word. There are levels of aye that you will face. That you need a higher level of faith. Anybody, Toba Rupe, aye, there's nothing like aye. The person does not know anything. In fact, in such a person, the Bible says is a fool. There are levels of wickedness, spiritual wickedness. The Bible talks about spiritual wickedness in heavenly places. There are levels of spiritual wickedness that you will face that you need a higher level of faith in order to be able to attack it. But the only people that have a chance, you don't even, overcoming the world is not a possibility for a person that is not born of God. Do you understand what I'm saying? You see, I've faced many battles in my life. And I know I will still face many because I am looking for the devil's trouble every day. And I am not apologetic about it. There are battles I fight, I don't even know I'm fighting. Do you understand what I'm saying? The only reason why I am able to overcome, I can tell you story upon story. I remember I was telling you people the story of when I was in university. When I faced attack. There is nothing up. See, the devil does not want you to be happy. But in order for you to live in a victorious life, because see, you are not supposed to be living from battle to battle. You are supposed to be living from victory to victory. What I mean is that the battle should not overshadow you. But the principle of that is, first of all, be born of God. Secondly, understand the principle of faith. Because this, see, there was a time in my life, brethren, I used to be afraid of demons. For some of you that know, you know I cast out demons. It's a normal thing. You should know that a person that casts out demons the way I do can't be afraid of demons. I shouldn't be afraid. No. By the grace of God, God has given us victory over that realm. But there was a time in my life that I used to be tormented by demons. And I was born again. And it happened as soon as I entered the university. 100 level. That was the first time in my life I ever stayed in a hostel. Now, with more spiritual understanding, I can probably guess that maybe there was somebody in my hostel that was possessed. I don't know. But the affliction was real. It was palpable. By the time it's getting dark like this, I'm afraid. Because sleep for me was torment. And somehow, I was living through that. And I didn't realize, I didn't know how to come out of that bondage. You see, in order for me to come out of that bondage, I needed to increase my level of faith. There was a time in my life that they used to press me. I remember I went for one of my friend's wedding in Makodi. And when I went to the wedding, we didn't stay. He had a house in Makodi. He was living in Makodi. So we were staying in his house. So me and some of his friends were in his house. So there was one particular tall guy that came from Sokoto, one of these northern states. So we got talking. I think it was me and him that were sleeping in the same room. So we got talking, and then this guy started telling me that, he started telling me about, you know, because we started talking, and he saw that I was somebody that he could talk to. He started telling me about opening up about how he used to be afflicted. How demons, you see, there is a bed that used to follow him. Anywhere he goes to, the bed will come. He's the only one that will be hearing the sound of the bed. How many of you have put one earphone before? You know, if you wear a good earphone, like Fulucom earphone, the music would be in the middle of your head. You know what I'm saying? The way you can say the music would be far, but the way you can say the music is, you see the music is in the middle of your head. That's how you'll be hearing the sound of the bed in the middle of his head. But he knows it's a bed. So, I noticed that since when I was on campus, I don't sleep early. For those of you who know, but wrote me knows, because I don't sleep early. If I tell you I slept early, maybe I slept by 1. Don't sleep early. Because I normally walk into the night. So I was not going to sleep early that night. So I was wondering why he too was so agile. Because me, I know the things I do in the night. I pray. That's when I study. That's when I share devotionals, write devotionals and all of that. I had not even started writing devotionals. I started writing devotionals then. Anyway, I was wondering why he was not planning to sleep. He now told me that, if he sleeps like this, they will come. Have you ever seen people that wake up with scars on their body? Because they were afflicted in their dream and they woke up with the scars. They flogged them, Koboko, in their dream. See, people are under affliction though. Some people acquired the affliction not because of what they did, but because of what their father did. Do you understand what I'm saying? Yes, because family things are like that. Some affliction entered some people's family because a member of their family married a witch. Because when I don't want to scare any. I'm not peddling fear. I'm just telling you reality. Yes. That as soon as the brother Shegun married, everything in the family started going upside down. People said that some of you, people that don't have spiritual understanding will not understand what I'm talking about. But what happened is that brother Shegun married a witch. So the witches have been trying to enter that family. They didn't have license. They didn't have access. But by the blood covenant of marriage, they now had access. They were now, you know, when you marry a woman, she becomes a member of your family. A witch now became a member of that family. The family was now open to a level of darkness that they didn't know before. Strange sicknesses and diseases, untimely death, poverty. These are things that are real. It says that who is born of God is the one that overcomes the world. And how does this happen? He says, this is the victory that overcomes the world. even our faith. How does faith come? Romans chapter 10. It says faith comes by hearing. He didn't say faith comes by prayer. Let me explain the difference between, because if you hear, you hear, you must pray. Because you may be, okay, like, what happened with me that time I was under affliction was that, it's only that I had a deficiency of the hearing of the word. I only had a deficiency of prayer. I told one of my seniors in school, that was 100 level, I was under this serious affliction. And I told him, he was our senior and he was also one of the leaders in our campus fellowship. And then I told him, I said, this happened. I'm being attacked in my sleep. I just laughed. He said, it's because you don't pray. Because he knew I was even doing cover to cover. There was a book then which used to study the Bible. It's a big book. Cover to cover through the Bible as it happened. Written by Selwyn Hughes. I had a copy of that book and I was currently studying the Bible from cover to cover. So it wasn't as if I wasn't studying. There was no faith in my spirit, but there was no avenue for the faith to be manifested. I hope you know that Amen. You know, Jesus Christ said, if you have faith, you shall see. That saying, is an avenue for that faith to be manifested. Give, and it shall be given unto you. That giving is an avenue for your faith to be manifested. Faith without action, or faith without works, is what? Is dead. So many times, if you have faith, the works that we might release that faith is your prayer life. So that's why you cannot divorce studying the Bible from having a hot prayer life. But if you have a hot prayer life and you don't have a word bank, you are like someone who has a powerful machine gun and there are no bullets. Because the bullets that you load your spiritual machine gun of prayer and fasting with is the word of God. And what the word of God does is that the word of God crystallizes, it builds faith in your heart. Faith comes by hearing. And hearing how? By the word of God. There are levels of the powers of this world that you need a higher level of faith to overtake. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Because of this class, I'll have to stop. This kind of teaching should normally go for 4 hours straight. But you people are not yet used to long teachings. So we'll have to start rounding up. Read the next verse so that we can round up from there. So he's now reiterating what he said from the beginning. You know, he first of all said that Jesus is the Messiah. That Messiah actually still means the Son of God. Now read verse 8.
The Spirit, the water.
Okay, read verse 7 and verse 8.
So we have these three differences. The Spirit, the water, and the blood. And all three are
in one. As King James would say. That your translation, I'm not sure it has the one that says there are three in heaven. Does your translation doesn't have that, does it? It doesn't have the one in heaven. It only has the one on it.
I have one on it.
Yes. King James will have, there are three that bear record in heaven. The Father, the Word, and the Spirit. Then it now has, there are three that bear record or witness in the earth. The Spirit, the water, and the blood. But you notice that your translation doesn't have that first part. Now I explain the reason. It's not because some people removed it out of mischief. No. The reason why your translation doesn't have that is because your translation, New Living Translation, New English Translation, NIV, were written with older manuscripts. What are older manuscripts? Should I start that lecture again? Anyway, any Bible scholar will tell you that that one that talks about heaven was not part of the original manuscript. It was an addendum. Because the more, you know, in the olden days, the only way they could have copies of immaterial is that they were copied by hand. So the more immaterial was copied by hand, there was possibility of it having error or someone adding something to it. So it was, King James is an older Bible. So the manuscript they used for King James, New Testament, after King James New Testament was compiled, some other manuscripts were discovered. That was after that the Dead Sea Scrolls were discovered. When they now checked them, they discovered that those manuscripts were older than the one they used for King James. When a manuscript is older, it means that the manuscript is probably more authentic. So now, there are some things, that's why you find that there are some things you find in Bibles that use older manuscripts that you won't find in King James. Because King James is a newer manuscript. So there is a possibility that those things were added, they were addendums. Do you understand what I'm saying? So that's why your Bible does not have that one of heaven, but it only has that of earth. So there are three that bear record on the earth. The spirit, the water, and the blood. Some of you have read that scripture and wondered what was going on there. How do we do this, Holy Spirit? Okay, we may have to read. You know, this is an exegesis. I'm not supposed to jump to that verse. Now, it talks about who is he that overcomes the world, but he that believes that Jesus is the Son of God. And how did Jesus come? He said, this is he that came by water and by blood, even Jesus Christ. Not by water only, but by water and by blood. And it is the Spirit that beareth witness, because the Spirit is truth. Then now says that there are three that bear record in heaven, then there are three that bear witness on it. The Spirit. What does it mean to bear witness? Record. Testify. Amen. Now, I need you to pay serious attention. This is the last point we are going to make, but it's a very, very important point. I will need the help of the Holy Spirit, so you cannot afford to be distracted right now. Have you noticed that till today, some of you have had one or two exposures to the occult before you became born again? I don't know. But you notice that there is nothing significant that they will do in the occult without blood. Have you noticed? How many of you have ever joined a cult? Don't raise your hand. If it is a serious cult, I don't, you know, there are serious cults. They are just boys that are just trying to, they are serious cults. Those are the kind of cult that if you break their code, you can run mad. By code, I mean if you break their law, you can run mad. If you've ever joined a serious cult, it will involve blood covenant. Am I saying the truth? The reason why that is because there are three that bear record on the earth. One of them is blood. And the only one that you and I can truly that human beings can truly manipulate is blood. Because we have blood. And we have a life. You see, that blood, that thing you see, blood is not a joke. The Bible says that the life of a thing is in its blood. So blood is not a joke. But interestingly, it didn't talk about, blood is the last that was mentioned. Because you were also saved by blood. You must never forget that. And you are supposed to be drinking blood regularly, which is the blood of Jesus, not physical, not blood. That's the communion table, suppose, is the blood of Jesus and the body of Jesus. He said, if you eat my flesh and drink my blood, and then you will have life, you are part of me. He said, as the living Father has sent me, and I live by him. So he that eats my flesh and drinks my blood, he was talking about the communion, shall live by me. Do you want to live by Christ? You must understand the potency of blood. You must understand the potency of water. And you must understand the potency of the Spirit. You remember we started this study by talking about water. Do you remember? We started this study by talking about water. That he may present our holy without blemish by the washing of water by the word. You see, if you must understand, you must not be spiritually ignorant. Tell your neighbor, don't be spiritually ignorant. The problem with many Christians, they've gotten themselves into a lot of problem, is that they are spiritually ignorant. How will you be studying the Bible for years and there is so much spiritual ignorance in your soul? You know why? There are many believers today, they don't study the Bible. They read the Bible for referencing.
They are reading the Bible, and during they are reading the Bible, so that they will be able to come and say, hey, in the book of Revelation chapter 6 verse 6, it says this. You are not studying the Bible. Because the Bible is a message. And the point of studying is that you should understand the message. If you read the Old Testament and read the laws and the prophets, there is all kinds of animal sacrifice there. There is wave offering, there is drink offering, there is heave offering, there is trespass offering, all of that. Do you know that by the time you begin to study the Bible and you begin to have an understanding of spiritual things, you will appreciate why God put the Old Testament there. There are many spiritual things you will understand by studying the Old Testament. Somebody comes to you and says he needs deliverance. What happened? Now, you must walk in discerning of spirits. Because no matter how anointed you are, there's some people that you will not be able to deliver if you don't understand spiritual things. Have you ever noticed that there are some times, now I'm not saying this is a rule, there are some times that in order for some deliverances to be complete, God will have to lead you to some specific locations. Now, some people have abused that, so they have prophets that are experts that are going to people's villages to go and pray. You don't have to go to your village to pray every prayer of deliverance and go and pray around the tree. Do you understand what I'm saying? Because yes, there are some. So it says you need deliverance. Hey, pastor, I get that almost every day. Thanks to Stream Globe. I mean, I kid you not, almost every day. At least, there's really a week that passes that I don't get such, many of them I don't even respond because many people are not serious. You know, many people, they are not serious. The message they send to you, they send to 10 other people. You understand? So, I mean, I don't have time for such people, so I don't respond. They say, hey, I have this problem, I need deliverance. Okay. What happened? Because there are some things that if you don't denounce, there are some people that their problem came because of some things that they intentionally put their hand inside. And if they don't denounce those things, they will not be delivered. There are some people that will come to you and say, for example, if a child, are you with me? The reason why a child is having an issue and the child believes that he needs deliverance is because his parents cursed him. There are some things that some children will do that their parents will curse them. And then the person now comes and says he wants deliverance. And you don't have discerning of spirit to pick that thing came from. If the parents are still alive, he needs to go and make restitution. Anyway, how did I get here? I was just talking about that. So when you talk about that, there are three that bear record on the earth. There is the water. Sorry, there is the spirit. It's important. Then there is the water. And then there is the blood. There's the blood. In understanding spiritual things, thank you, Holy Spirit. The sensation I'm feeling now is as if God wants, as if this is a ministration and this is just a teaching. As I'm feeling there's a strange angelic presence that I'm sensing here right now. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Can we just, everybody just lift up your hands to the Lord and say, Lord, whatever you have for me here, I receive. In the name of Jesus, I receive. In Jesus' name we pray. People are not ready for this thing I want to teach, so we'll have to round it up. Maybe next time we are going to look at the dynamics of water, of the spirit, and of blood. What is it about water? Yeah, what is it about water? How many of you have noticed that water is not ordinary? There's a reason why you must be baptized in water. Amen? There's a reason why you must be baptized in water. And it is water, it's not sand. Praise the Lord. Because there's something about water. Water bears a record. But we're going to look at that subsequently by the grace of God. But meanwhile, if you are here and you don't have the Holy Spirit, because the first that it says is that it's the Spirit. The first encounter you have in this life, you know, Jesus Christ did not come by, he came by these three tokens. That's actually what that scripture is saying. The first encounter you have with God is you have an encounter with the Spirit of God. It is the Spirit that convicts you. Amen. And then the word of God that you receive, that becomes faith in you, causes you to believe, and then you are cleansed by the blood. Amen. Amen. There's somebody here. You have been struggling with uncontrollable appetites, uncontrollable lust. And when I was talking about demons, you knew that you needed deliverance. I'm going to tell you what to do to be delivered. First and foremost, you are going to rededicate your life to Christ. Secondly, you are going to be devoted to the Word of God. Be devoted to the Word of God. You cannot overcome the world without the power of the Word of God. You cannot. Do you understand what I'm saying? You see, when uncontrollable lust comes, it is a trap, it is a bait that is leading you to somewhere. It's not the end. Because what the devil wants to do is that he wants to have license, unlimited license in people's lives. The devil wants to be able to wake up in the morning and say, today I will kill so, so and so, and the person will die. The devil can't do that for many of us. I hope you know that. The devil cannot just wake up in the morning and say, I will kill Abraham. It has not been given unto him. You understand? But what he seeks, and it's not, he can't even do that for even children that are born. So what he seeks is that he throws bits that will bring people into levels of iniquity, that will make it such that the devil will have so much power over them that he can wake up in the morning and say, today we die, and that person will die. Can wake up and say, today he will lose his ability to smell. He wants to be king. And the thing that gives him license is sin. So what you are going to do is that you are going to resist every way of sin that you can identify. And you are going to put yourself under proper discipleship. Proper discipleship. If you are serious and you want to go far in life, you take this instruction seriously. So many people are being cut short every day. Let us pray. Let us pray. You are Yahweh. You are Yahweh. You are Yahweh. Hey, you are Yahweh. You are Yahweh. You are Yahweh. Alpha, Omega. You are Yahweh, you are Yahweh, Alpha, Omega. You are Yahweh, you are Yahweh, hey, you are Yahweh, you are Yahweh, you are Yahweh. Hey, you are Yahweh, you are Yahweh, you are Yahweh. Alpha, Omega, you are Yahweh, you are Yahweh. Alpha, Omega. Father, we give you praise. For he has broken the gates of brass and he has cut the bars of iron asunder. He says, when he ascended on high, he led captivity captive. He made a public show of the vanquished foes, and he gave gifts to men. The proof that the devil is a defeated foe is that there are gifts, spiritual gifts on the earth today. That is a proof and a reminder. Sometimes you need to also remind yourself and remind the devil that he is a vanquished foe. He has no authority. He's a roaring lion. He likes to establish authority in where he has not been given authority. But you need to remind yourself and remind the devil that he has no authority over you. Sin shall have no dominion over you, because you are no longer under a system that the devil can hack. You are now under the grace of God. There is somebody listening to me. You are afraid of sudden death. You are afraid of imminent death. But the Bible says, 1,000 shall fall by thy side, and 10,000 by thy right side, but it shall not come near thee. Only with thy eyes shall thou behold and see the reward of the wicked. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray. It's an aberration for you to be a Christian and then you are afraid of dying untimely death. The Bible says that he conquered Satan. Jesus conquered Satan. He says, he that has the power of death, so that we that believe are delivered from the power of death, the fear of death. All those who through the fear of death have been held captives all the days of their lives, when they believe in Jesus, they are delivered from the fear of death. It is what you fear that can happen to you anyhow. Holy Spirit, help us. Holy Spirit, help us. Death is not just that cessation of life. It can be cessation of finances. That's financial debt. Somebody is going to overcome that fear today. Because if that fear is still in your life, the devil will still be able to manipulate you in some areas. What the devil uses to manipulate people is fear. For many years in my life, I was afraid of many things. Fear of failure. You are delivered from that in Jesus' name. The psalmist said, I sought the Lord and he heard me and he delivered me from all my fears. All, not some. All my fears. You know why David could stand Goliath? It's because he was not afraid of him. He wasn't afraid of the death. Everybody was afraid that Goliath would kill them, but David was not afraid. You know why? He sought the Lord and he heard him. And God had delivered him from all his fears. There are many stars that have never arisen. It is not because God has not put potential in them, but they have been held captive because of fear. I want us to say, Lord, I am free from every fear. I am not going to fear anything. The only person I fear is the Lord my God. If the devil can make you afraid of anything, that thing can attack you. That's the truth. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Stop fearing. The devil does not have such power over you. All power in heaven and on earth has been given unto Jesus. Do you believe that? That all authority belongs to Jesus. Stop being afraid of the plans of the devil. I sought the Lord and he heard me. And he delivered me from all my fears. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Let's begin to give the Lord thanks for this time. Don't know if you have gotten anything from this sermon. Give the Lord thanks for it. Determine that from this moment you are going to live your life under the authority of the Christ. You are going to live your life under the authority of Christ. Jesus is your Messiah. He is your Christ. You have confessed him as your Lord.
He rules every area of your life, and his spirit dwells in you. Know ye not that your body is the temple of God, and the spirit of God dwells in you. Can you say this after me? The spirit of God dwells in me. My body is the temple of God. The spirit of God dwells in me. My body is the temple of God. The spirit of God dwells in me. Is it how then can you take a member of Christ and join it with a harlot? That is an abomination. How can you, who is the temple of God, be unequally yoked with people who are shrines? Because when you find an unbeliever who doesn't believe in Jesus, is a shrine of demons. But you are the temple of the living God. Say, Lord, I will live holy and sanctified. My life is your temple. My life radiates your power. Do you realize that when you enter a room and there are demons inside that room, those demons will excuse themselves? They will leave that room because the temple of God just walked in. Do you remember what happened to the idols of the Philistines? Dagon, as they put the ark of God inside that place, those idols, they fell and their hands were broken. Your body is the temple of God. You are the ark of the Most High God. Father, we give you all the praise. Let's begin to worship the Lord. Thank him for this privilege. Thank him for this privilege. Lord, my life will be fruitful. Can you say that after me? My life is fruitful. My life is fruitful. In every area of my life, I am fruitful. Spiritually, I am fruitful. Physically, I am fruitful. Financially, I am fruitful. In my career, I am fruitful. Now you can say this, I am like a tree planted by the rivers of water. I bring forth my fruits in due season. My leaves also shall not wither. And whatsoever I do shall prosper. Say it again, I am like a tree planted by the rivers of water. I hope you believe what you are saying, because this is the word of God. Amen. It is forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. Heaven and earth may pass away, but his word will not pass away. If you believe his word, there's nothing that can stop it from happening. I am like a tree planted by the rivers of water. I bring forth my fruits in due season. My leaves also shall not wither. And whatsoever I do shall prosper. It means that when people are saying there is a casting down, you say there is a lifting up. When people are losing everything, people are getting hungry, your house will become a house of bread. It means that when leaves are withering, you know, when dry season comes, trees begin to lose their leaves. That is, they begin to lose their glory. You will not lose your glory. There is nothing that the Lord has endowed you with that you will lose. My leaves also shall not wither. And whatsoever I do shall prosper. Can you install that blessing of God upon your spirit? And whatsoever I do shall prosper. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Spiritually, I am fruitful. I am drawing many people to Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray. Let me tell you the key to fruitfulness in every area of your life. Be fruitful spiritually. One of the signs that you are fruitful spiritually is that there are people that are born again because of you. Whether directly or indirectly. There are people that have accepted Jesus because of you. Amen. See, I'm not bragging. No. If you see that there is something I don't have, it's because I don't need it. There is nothing I need that God does not provide. There is nothing. Now, let me tell you something. If I sit down here and say, I want a jet, I don't need it. Where am I jetting to? Praise the Lord. Do you understand what I'm saying? There is nothing I need that God does not. That is the faithfulness of God. There was only a time I lost my job. There is nothing I need that God does not provide. Of
course, I don't live like a king, but I have my needs met. And what I'm telling you is that the key to fruitfulness, and I'm also increasing in both spiritually and physically. Amen. Do I have any other person in this room that is increasing? Spiritually and physically. Amen. You see, the key to fruitfulness physically is fruitfulness spiritually. Fruitfulness spiritually. The key to physical fruitfulness. Especially for those of you that have spiritual life. You want to be fruitful spiritually, physically? Be fruitful spiritually. What does it mean to be fruitful spiritually? One, your life is manifesting the fruit of the Spirit. Two, you are winning souls. How many of you can point to somebody and say, I am the one that preached to him? Or I'm the one that discipled him? If you have been a Christian for up to 3 years, 4 years, 5 years, and you cannot point to people that you say, this person, I'm the one that preached to him. Some of them, you didn't even preach to them, you prayed them into the faith. What I mean is that you started praying for them and you saw how God saved them. And you continue to, do you understand what I'm saying? You can't point to people that you have, that means you are not fruitful yet. And it is time to be fruitful. You want to be fruitful in every area of your life, be fruitful spiritually. There are many of your friends that you are supposed to be preaching to. And you are not too young. 10 is already preaching. Do you understand what I'm saying? You are not too young. You are older than him. I'm challenging you. I'm challenging you in the name of Jesus. Go and be fruitful in Jesus' name. Now I'm prophesying into your life. Be fruitful in Jesus' name. Be fruitful in Jesus' name. Be fruitful in Jesus' name. Ah, massive fruitfulness in the name of Jesus. Massive, mega, may amplified in the name of Jesus. Amen. Let's give the Lord thanks for this time. Let's give the Lord thanks. Please make up your mind that you are going to be fruitful. Share the word of God in season and out of season. That is when it is convenient and even when it is not convenient. Share the word of God. Be a witness for Jesus. Don't join the world. Stand out. Dare to be different. Don't copy the world's style. You are unique. You don't have to conform to the fashion of this world. What's operating inside you is bigger than the world. The one that is in you is bigger than the king, the prince of this world. His name is the Holy Spirit. Give the Lord thanks. Lift up your hands and let's give the Lord thanks. Thank you, Father. Father, we thank you for the online audience. We thank you for those who are here. Thank you for what you have done. Thank you, Lord, for the word of fruitfulness that you have released upon us. Lord, I pray that we will see the fruits of this, starting from this moment. That among us shall be giants, spiritually and physically. Thank you, Holy Spirit. I pray that among us, Lord, there shall be giants, spiritually and physically. We are great men in Jesus' mighty name. Let's share the grace in fellowship. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the sweet fellowship of the Holy Spirit abide with us now and forevermore. Amen. And surely God's goodness and mercy shall follow us all the days of our lives, and we shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever and ever. Amen. Praise the Lord.